Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show once again. Today is Wednesday, May 27th. And if you notice, the week is going by fast because we started it on Tuesday.
Yes.
Right?
Feels like Friday today, actually.
Yeah, so it's going to be a short week.
Yep.
Welcome to the show, blah, 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 blah. We're done. See you later. No, we have a great guest in the studio. We're going to get to him in just a second. This is a friend of yours, right?
Yep.
So that would be cool. Your friends are always cool, so I always look forward to you bringing your friends in.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And but that's probably because you're cool, right? I mean, have you heard of this
thing? They make me cooler.
Yeah. I mean, have you heard this, like, you can judge a person by their friends?
Totally.
Sort of a thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally believe that, you know, because you surround yourself by people that sort of, like, either compliment you or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I try.
Compliment meaning complete you.
Right, I got it. Yeah. Not like they tell me I'm pretty every day. Right. Which, if they did, that would be great, too.
Exactly.
I'd
that would
keep
be
them
good
around
friend,
even
right?
more. Totally. You hear that, friends?
Yeah. So how are you feeling this morning? You rested?
I feel amazing.
Really?
No, but I was just trying to feel amazing. So, you know, when you say things like, or you smile a lot, it makes you happy.
Okay, so you tried to reinforce positive thinking.
Yeah, but
morning.
Then I couldn't lie, obviously.
All right.
I just would never, so I have to be honest.
Okay, well, hopefully it'll be a better day as it progresses for you.
Yes. Well, no, it's a good day. It's just that I happen to still be sleepy.
Mm.
And it's like no amount of coffee and rest will shake me of Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. I know. And we've both been sleepy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that we have to do something about this because we have to be awake for the audience.
Yeah, I know. And I have a long day ahead of me, too. So hence the venti Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Starbucks.
You want to talk about long days? Let me make this brief, but it really made it a long day. I went over to Uber to get my car inspected and everything.
Yeah. So you're back on and you're doing it.
Yeah, I decided I'm going to at least try.
Every day it's different.
Yeah. But no, I haven't tried it yet. I mean, I went to get my car inspected. Finally, I had to drive all the way to Burbank, and only to find out that the turn signal is broken or something.
Okay,
you know? It's not working. So he says, "There's a Pep Boys down the street. Why don't you go there?" I did. The guy says, "Okay, it's gonna take, you know, we're busy. Probably take an hour." And I said, "Fine, you know, whatever," because it takes 2 seconds probably to replace it. So, Jen, I went to eat. I got on my tablet for a while. I was on the phone. I did everything possible. Before you know it, 2.5-3 hours later, he comes to me and he says, "I don't have a Lyft available."
What?
I said, "I saw the car on the Lyft already." So before that, they said you have to take a plate out, and it's kind of complicated and all that stuff. I said, "Fine." So I said, "Well, how much longer?" He says, "I don't know." I said, "After 3 hours, you still can't tell me how long it would take you to replace a light bulb?" So,
wait, can't you just go to a gas station for them to replace a light bulb?
Well, maybe. I mean, yeah, they have mechanics there. But I went to Pep Boys. They have a mechanic there, too.
Right.
You know, because most gas stations today do not have, like, repair shops anymore. They used to. Today, it's like all self-service mostly. So I went. So I told him, I said, "I can't believe this. You know, I mean, I spent my whole friggin' day here. And I'm thinking to myself for a light bulb." So at first I wasn't going to stay when he said 1 hour. And then I thought, well, if I go to another place and all this, it's going to take just as long. It's going to take me longer to find another place and all that. So finally I said, "You know what?" I said, "The hell with this." And he says, "You know, we have another one like not too far from here, another Pep Boys. You can go there. I'll call them or I just call them. They said that they can take you right away." So I go there, they put the car on the lift right away. They come back to me, they said, "Well, it's a little complicated." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because there's a part broken here." And he says, the whole housing there is broken. It looks like someone yanked it or something. I said, "This is a brand new car."
Whoa.
nobody'd been in it, you know, like into the light or everything. And so then he says, well, you're going to have to get the part at the dealer, and then we'll put it in for you. So after that, I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, and I realized, you know what? They put it on the lift. They broke the friggin' thing. They gave the car back to me, and they said they can't do it, or it's going to take them a long time. Because who else would have broken it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
When did you get this car?
Like 6 months ago or so. Oh. It's never been to the shop before. Yeah. And it's not just like something broken from the outside. They said, look, it looks like somebody tried to yank it out and it broke. So, okay, so we went to Ford this morning to try to get the part. They ordered the wrong part, blah, blah, blah. Now they're saying that it's like a whole thing and all this stuff. And I thought, wow, you know, this is like too much now. So... well, first I gave him a bad review anyway. I wrote something like 3 hours for a light bulb. Very nice.
Oh, I would have raised hell.
Yeah.
Like, well, real hell.
I know.
I would have been impossible.
Yeah. But you know what?
3 hours?
Yeah.
I took my car to be serviced at Volkswagen in Van Nuys or whatever city. And they made an appointment for me. I was really excited to get there, show up, give my car, wait an hour, and leave. They're like, well, it's going to be probably a couple hours. And I was like, well, why is that? There's two other people sitting in here. And they're like, they're just like, that's what it's going to be because people are at lunch. And I was like, well, why would you schedule an appointment when your people are at lunch?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you can just sit and wait. I'm like, and you can sit and wait. And I walked out.
Yeah.
I was so pissed.
Good for you. I know.
And I haven't taken my car to be serviced.
Yeah.
If it blows up, I'm going to blame those people. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, it could have been just one guy, though, you know. So you got to sometimes just try again or something, you know.
I don't understand. Customer service these days is like shit.
It is shit, you know. And the thing is, it's not the workers, it's the managers.
Right.
A worker is a reflection of the manager. And apparently, they hire managers that don't know anything. They don't give a crap. And that's what happens, you know. But I decided, you know what? I don't have time, but I'm going to go there. And I'm going to raise hell, just like you said. I'm going to talk to the manager, and I'm going to tell him this is bullshit, you know. And I'm going to call all the way to corporate if you guys don't make up for it. If you don't, like, they'll have to pay for it now.
Do it.
Because I know it's them.
Right.
I know it's them.
You
know?
I say do it.
Yeah. I mean, 3 hours, and then he says he's still... I saw it on the lift. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, he had said before, it's going to take more work because we have to remove this plate from underneath. So, you know, they'd already been there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Ugh, lies all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's the story, and it's not over yet, and all it is for is just to get my Uber inspected. And I've had nothing but heartache and aggravation from this. Even trying to apply for this online, it's like, you can't do this, you can't do that. They have like hidden links and stuff that you can't find everything.
What?
Yeah, because you see, the thing is, you can, instead of going to the inspection station, they can come to you.
Oh,
yeah, you just go on the website. Yeah, because I couldn't get it to work for me.
Oh.
And I write to them. They don't write back. And they finally said, so I finally got them on chat last night. And she says, well, yeah, here's the link. I said, well, why isn't it on the website? I'm supposed to guess it. So for 2 days, I didn't know how to do this. And so that's why I went there. I just said, you know, the hell with it. I'll go there. But now I finally figured it out. But now I don't have a car that's ready to go.
Right.
So
what a mess.
What a mess, right?
Fiasco.
Yeah. The good news is yesterday we had on the show here. Do you know the series Happy Days? Did you ever get to?
I didn't watch it, but I know it.
Yeah, like the Fonz. And,
yeah.
Yeah. So one of the characters was Ralph Melf. He's like a redhead. He was really funny and sort of like a prankster and stuff on the show. So I was listening to some replays last night, and I realized he was here at the station yesterday. And I'm like really irritated nobody told me about it.
Oh.
I mean, he was really big, you know?
Yeah.
And he still is in a way, you know? I mean, he's known as probably like a child actor or something. But,
so what was he here talking about?
He's doing new things. I don't know. They haven't gotten to that point. I only listened for about 10, 15 minutes because I went to bed. But so I was really excited. You know, I mean, this is a high-profile guest. Nobody told me about it. And it would have been nice to meet him. So now I'm thinking maybe we'll invite him on our show. Apparently he's promoting something, you know.
Let's do it.
Yeah. He's really funny. He's a great guy. So we'll see. But I'm totally like against taking other people's guests and stuff. But what the hell? He's already been on the show. So, and it would be a totally different interview too.
Yes. And a different audience.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently, thankfully. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him to us?
Today we have Aaron Cairo in the studio.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking on your website and you've grown a beard since you took the pictures up there.
I've probably grown a beard like in the past 2 weeks or something like that.
Really? Yeah. So it's a new thing.
No, it's just a lazy thing.
Really? Have you had beards before or is this the first time?
No, I've had beards of many beards in my life. Really? It's just my girlfriend likes the beard, so yeah, now I'm like growing it out.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
beards are good.
Yeah,
are they good?
Oh yeah.
But what is it like kissing when there's like a mustache and
it's
stuff?
It's fine.
You don't mind
that?
No, girls seem to really like it.
It's manly. We like it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It makes us think you can like cut down a tree and protect us from harm.
Yeah.
I can't do any of that.
It's deceiving. It's fine though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on a primitive level, right. Though, you know.
But our listeners can't hear. But I have starting to get a little gray in the beard, a little bit.
That's also good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We like that too.
Wow, I'm killing it already.
Yeah, killing it.
The beard.
You already qualify for half of our listeners.
Maybe you should write a book about it.
Well, maybe I should.
So, how long ago did you guys meet? Do you remember?
A long time. Probably. When did you come to LA?
8 years ago.
So, probably 8 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, you guys are longtime friends.
Yeah, we've known each other a while.
Well, that's cool.
We met through a mutual friend who then put me in one of your, a pilot?
Oh, right. Oh, man. What was it? What were we doing, though?
We were pilot. We were filming.
Oh, we were in, like, a big loft?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. It was called the Cairo Show.
Right.
Yeah, it was like almost like a web pilot. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
I played Jennifer, wasn't it? I think that was my name.
Really?
Probably.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sounds about right. It was fun.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
So is that what you do? Shows? TV shows?
Or? Yeah, I'm a writer, comedian, author. Jack of all trades, beard grower.
Yes.
I think at that point I was writing a script or writing a web series or something, and that was the pilot. Yeah.
Wow, very cool. So what do you like best with all the things that you do? Do you have a favorite, like writing or?
Well, I mean, I think I like the act of performing the best. I think it's the most fun. You know, you get instant feedback when you're on stage.
Right. So that's the comedy part.
Stand-up. I've seen you do stand-up.
Yeah.
At the improv. Very funny. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think I probably like cried laughing.
But I think the other 23 hours of being a stand-up are like the worst. Traveling, getting people to the show, preparing.
You mean it's not glamorous?
It's not glamorous at all. In fact, there's in the last couple episodes of Louie, you know, in Louie and FX, it's following him on the road and like it's hitting very hard to home. I mean, very, very close to home.
Really?
But writing, you know, it's very solitary, which, you know, I don't really like people. So that part is good.
That works for you.
Yeah. And I've been doing it like the longest in different medium, TV, movies and books. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think maybe writing, maybe by a hair, I would prefer.
Yeah. You think that's your main calling in life?
I think that I was I'm not trying to be cocky. I think I was a born writer.
Right. You're not being cocky. It's almost every story is like that.
Right.
When did you start singing? Oh, I was 5 years old. Or I came out of the womb.
That's the thing. I didn't actually know I wanted to be a writer or ever try until I was in my 20s. I had no idea.
Went to college, right? Yeah,
in college I did it for fun, but I studied finance and I worked on Wall Street. Like I had no idea being a writer was a job that anybody could do.
Right.
It's only in my early 20s when I tried to do it that I was like, oh, and now in my mid-30s, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm good at this. But performing is definitely more, I have to, like, really try hard. Not that I have no try hard when I'm writing, but, like, it doesn't come as naturally.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So what made you decide to be a comic after all?
Well, I had, like I said, I was working on Wall Street, and then I got a book deal for a collection of some of my writing that I was doing in college for fun. So I left Wall Street and I had this book coming out. And I was like, okay, well, now what else can I do? I got a lot of free time on my hands. Uh-huh. And people always like thought I was funny. Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know, let's tell jokes. And it's like, I didn't really put any thought to it, which was, I wish I could go back to that time of not thinking too much about it. Like being very naive, not even knowing what you're supposed to do on stage, just kind of getting up and doing whatever.
Yeah. Part of the discovery process, you know, Exactly. Well, it's like everything else. You know, you meet a woman, there's a lot of excitement in the beginning, and then it becomes routine. You know?
And then she's boring. And you hate her. And then you cheat on her.
Never.
The end.
Never. But sorry.
So you just simplified it for us.
You're welcome.
The process.
Yeah. Jen. but yeah, so I kind of started on a lark, and that was, I still remember, July 10th, 2012. So now I've been doing it for going on 13 years. You know, it's
quite. You mean 2002?
Yes, 2002. I'm sorry. 2002.
Yeah. Because 15 years, I'm like, wow. Oh, 13 years.
13 years. Yeah,
13 years. So, wow. So that's pretty cool. So you're like, so you're an experienced comic now. I mean, now you go up there pretty confident, would you
say? I mean, 13 years is pretty much when you're allowed to maybe call yourself like a comedian. Yeah. Anything before that, you're still just starting out.
You're aspiring. Yeah.
Exactly.
Look, I mean, if people that do it for 2 months can call themselves comics, then you can definitely
call
yourself.
But they might not want to. That's probably not a good idea.
No.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, everyone's an actor just because they once took a picture.
Right. Either that, or they announced that they're an actor one day, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then they expect the work to come to them.
But it's almost like with stand-up, you know, you're actually, you know, if you're an aspiring actor, you are auditioning, but you don't necessarily actually get to do the thing that you want to do.
Right.
Whereas stand-up, even if you're doing open mic, you're actually doing the thing. I mean, there's no real difference between,
That's
you know.
True. And you get quick feedback, but it must hurt when you bomb, right? I mean, does it happen to you sometimes? Or
You know, I mean, I headline now, so I'm doing it over an hour. So you don't really bomb. It's really hard to bomb.
Right.
It's more like a joke doesn't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just go on to the next
joke.
Good for
you. That's great attitude, you know.
Well, you have to have that attitude or else you will literally, I mean, you will just die.
Yeah, they'll destroy you.
Yeah.
I know, that's a scary part about
it. Still, occasionally there'll be a bit or a joke or a moment when I'm just like, really? That was hilarious. What's wrong with you?
Right.
It's definitely them. Something's wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing because I was talking to another comic about this recently that, you know, the number one thing you don't do is blame the audience. If a joke doesn't work or they're being rowdy or unruly, you know, you never blame the audience.
Yeah.
I did a show a couple weeks ago and the opener was kind of falling a little bit on his face and he was like, come on guys. And I'm like, nope. Once you start talking to them, then they're not interested in laughing at you. So it's your fault.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing though, is I realized in comedy, audiences have high expectations and they'll boo you or just be very bored if you don't do very well. Whereas with a singer or something, it's not the same. You know, you pretty much sit back and you consume what they give you. But in comedy, you know, the expectations are like, hey, make me laugh or get off the stage.
Yeah, it is a very...
I feel that way every day.
Really?
In my life, make me laugh or get out of my way.
You think that of other people.
All the people
that
I come in contact with.
All of
with.
The people.
Yeah.
That is true. I have thought about that a lot. If you're a musician, first of all, you could play the same songs over and over again forever.
Mm-hmm.
You need like 2 songs.
Yeah. And people will actually ask for them if they're hits. Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of like, yes, they should clap at the end of the song. But if it's the middle of the song, like, you know, you're just doing your thing.
Exactly.
Or a stand-up. We're working. You are from that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So it's always good when you get that first laugh. You're like, whew. Thank God, like, I know how to still do this. Because otherwise it's going to be a long hour.
Yeah.
Long hour.
That's pretty cool. So you brought a book. We'll get to the book in just a second. I did want to ask, I know I'd forget what I wanted to ask. So let's go back to the book for a second and then it'll come back to me. Tell us a little bit about the book. What's it called?
Sure. The book's called Galgorithm.
Uh-huh.
It's like a little pun, Gal Algorithm.
Okay. Gal. Okay, because I'm like, what's Galgo, you know?
So that's not encouraging. But anyway.
Well, you know, when you come up with an unusual name, you get excited.
Yes, yeah, so we coined it. I coined it.
Very and, cool. It's unique and memorable.
Yeah. And it's basically about a teenage dating coach. You know, the easiest way that I pitch it, there was a movie, Hitch. You ever seen the movie Hitch? Will Smith.
Yes.
Yep.
Helps Kevin James get this girl that he loves. It's a little bit like Hitch in high school. This the main character, Shane. By the way, it's a young adult novel. It's fiction.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So it's a teenager named Shane who has his heart broken, and then he decides, well, he never wants to feel that pain again or anyone to feel that pain. So he becomes this dating coach, and he helps kind of the nerdy guys in the high school get the girls, and he peddles them this secret formula called the Galgorithm, which if you follow the Galgorithm, then you will, you know, get the girl.
So
that's
cool.
The basic situation, yeah.
How did you come up with this concept?
So originally I was just – the original conceit was like what – you know, everyone always thinks what – if I only knew then what I knew now. And if you only knew then what you knew now, what would be like the number one thing you'd want to know? It would be like opposite sex stuff, especially if you're a guy in high school.
Right. You were frustrated with it when you were young.
Well, let me tell you how frustrated I was now. But yeah, it's a little bit frustrated. So I – you know, that was the original concept. Okay, well, what if a – kid in high school knew everything that I know now. Not that I'm such an expert, but at least, you know, just being a man, you know a lot more. And then the title kind of, I can't even remember where I came up. I'm pretty good with titles. That would be my strong suit. So
right.
But now I know who to call if I need a title for something.
Oh, please. Please.
So, but I mean, it's cool because it's algorithm, but a gal algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes algorithm. Sense.
Okay. Really breaking down the title. Yeah.
Right. I really
there
like
we
it.
Go. Now I figured it out. Okay.
But yeah, and ultimately, you know, what he teaches these kids is, you know, is really it's all inside you to begin with, you know, about confidence and. You know, I think it's in the back of the book. His three tenets are be different, notice her, tell her. You know, if you're different and you're kind of weird, you sometimes try to be something that you're not. And he encourages them to kind of lean into it a little bit.
Like weird.
I know. I think I was just talking about the other day that, like, I think that's like recent, more recent than when we were in high school. Like geeks and nerds and Mark Zuckerberg and
right.
everything.
Right, that wasn't cool.
Yeah, now it's like cool to like be the smart, nerdy kid.
Right.
But when we were in high school, it was not. So he kind of teaches them to sort of embrace their weirdness to stand out.
Right.
Yeah.
So now what makes a novel a young adult novel?
It's a great question. So technically, it's for ages forward hidden up.
Right.
But young adult basically is anything now. I mean, right. This book is written for 14 to like 44.
Cool.
I mean, my fans are in their 20s and 30s.
Right. But you said that you aimed it towards a younger audience, right?
No.
No?
No, I did not. All that means is that the characters are in high school.
Right, that's what I thought.
Because,
right.
you know, Hunger Games, that's
Hunger
young adult.
Hunger Games, right.
Fault in Our Stars, that's young adult, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just it's this whole new genre, not new, but it's a whole new, everyone reads young adult now.
Right. And you don't have to dumb it down, let's say, for lack of a better word, for younger.
They will spot that in a heartbeat.
They will.
It's like, they talk like... They talk smarter. I can't even talk. They talk, you know, they're much more. First of all, if you talk to a high school kid recently, they are very sophisticated.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I texted my cousin and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
What's happening right now?
I know. They're really smart, you know?
So it's really just. And there are actually adult characters. A teacher finds out about his little business and asks him to help him too. So there is an adult love story as well that happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So how long did it take you to write?
Everyone always asks that. It's such a strange...
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Because a book is, it seems
long.
Like an insurmountable type of thing.
I've been writing a book for 8 years.
Yeah.
I should probably put a pen down and write it.
Yeah.
Well, put
a deadline for yourself. You're good with
years.
Those things, right?
I had an old manager who once said, you know, people ask brain surgeon, is it hard? And he goes, not if you know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. So that was my thing. It probably took about a year. Which is actually very fast.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I happen to just be very fast. I don't know.
And productive.
You have to be very disciplined.
Stay focused because it's easy, like, not to sit down and write for a day or two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm insane. I will like shut off the internet, no music, sit there for like 12 hours and like not get up, like wearing a diaper like that astronaut.
Wow.
I'm like, in this case, we had a little bit of a deadline because it's kind of a summery beach kind of release. We wanted to get at it came out May 5th, so we wanted to get it out in time.
Uh-huh.
And so I was really, really churning on it. So about a year, but usually it takes probably 2 years.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. Except when you're like when you churn out books like 1 to 1 year or something with those like famous authors and stuff. But to them, it's a business, you know. I think many of them don't even write the entire book.
Charity. Right. Yeah.
No, but
there are some. I mean, I was just at this big book convention in Dallas, and there's some authors who kind of do those sort of series where they're all, you know, it's like,
right.
And they churn out several books a year. I mean, I don't know if that's just maybe that's just their process, or they're not as good, or whatever. But there are definitely authors who churn it. I mean, I guess if that's all you're doing all day, every day, well, you could do it. But I mean, I only have one good idea a year.
Right.
Like if you gave me 5 ideas, I could probably do 5 books, but I only get one idea. And like in 2015, I still haven't figured out my next good idea. So got it.
Cool.
Time is ticking. Yeah.
Now, is there a lot of you in the book, would you say?
Yeah. I mean, the main character is a little bit like me if we put my brain into like a high school kid. Actually, my previous book actually had a lot more of me in it than I think this one does. But I think that has my. It's very funny. It's like it's a romantic comedy. So I try to imbue that into the book. I mean, there's not a lot of sort of laugh out loud novels, I guess you would say. And so I try to like differentiate myself, be different in that respect.
Yeah.
It's got my sense of humor is what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Aaron Cairo, a very good friend of Jen's, and he brought in the new book. It was released this month, huh? May 5th.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you very
much. I always say a new book is like a new baby, right? It finally comes out.
And it's so annoying now.
Really?
No. It doesn't make sense.
It cries all the time.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Kill it.
Too far.
Well, sorry.
But it is my fifth book. So I'm kind of, it's old hat, I guess, at this point. But, it's still very exciting. I mean, that's the other thing you were talking about, stand up versus acting. It's like with books versus even like screenwriting. Like the book is out. I mean, I've sold so many pilots that no one will ever. It just like doesn't exist.
Right. Exactly.
This is like I give it to my mom. She's like, I'm like, I did something. She's like, I'm proud of you. I'm like, you never say that. This is great. No, that's true. They always say it. They're proud.
Oh, yeah.
But it's good to have a physical thing.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, you can show it, to people and also look at it and say, hey, I created something,
Yeah.
And that's why I prefer physical books over like Kindle and stuff,
right?
But you have to stay in that market as well, right?
Yeah. No, I mean it's an ebook, it's an audio book. You can get it any different. It doesn't really matter to me how you consume it. When people ask me, would you rather buy the hardcover or the
It makes no difference as long as they read the story.
Well, I was going to say as long as I get paid, but yes, as long as they read the story. Yes,
yeah.
It's about my art. It's about my art.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Well, very cool. So. Now, do you write anything other than your books? I mean, do you write for publications? Do you write for websites?
Yeah, and I write for TV as well.
Oh,
I write
really?
For TV, yeah. So I've sold a bunch of pilots that never got made. I'm writing a pilot now for Comedy Central, which I don't know that I can reveal the details, but it's an animated series, so I'm working on that. So basically TV and books are my two main things. I used to write a column for about 15 years called Ruminations. That's sort of how my whole career got started from when I was a freshman in college in 1997 through 2012. I wrote this email called Ruminations every other week, which is basically just random observations about life, kind of a Seinfeldian kind of thing. I went viral, went from 20 friends to 100,000 subscribers.
Wow,
I may say it so nonchalantly like that, but over the course
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah.
I have a friend who read your column in college or something, and he was like, what, you're friends with Aaron Cairo? I'm like, yeah. He's like, he wrote this thing that I read all the time, and I was like, oh, cool. I should ask him about that.
great friend, Jen.
Yeah.
Are you not on my mailing list? Are you not on the list? I mean,
no.
I stopped writing it, but...
Oh, then maybe I was.
But, I mean, did you get my emails when I was promoting the book?
No.
You would have known. I was like, email... blab. Okay,
but I did go to your Cinco de Cayro party.
She did come to my book release party. She did. She did.
Very nice. I'm going on your website. You've got quite a bit of ruminations there. I mean, you've written a lot.
Yes, 15
lot of
years.
Them.
You think a lot.
15 years. Wow. Going you have back. A lot to say. I mean, that's very creative, you know. Very creative.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And then yeah. I just, you know, after 15 years, 2012, I just retired it. It was a nice even number. And I could ruminate no longer.
Yeah, it's too long to be doing anything.
I no longer think about things.
Yeah. I mean, it is tough to, it's one thing to write a book, but another thing to like come up with something new every other week
right.
that like someone hasn't tweeted about already.
Right.
You know, it's like the joke cycle now is so fast.
Everyone's a writer now.
Yeah.
And everyone's funny.
Well,
no. But there's like a quip. You can just tweet something funny. Like
yeah.
when it comes to your mind. You right. don't have to sit and then yeah. write it out and the whole thing.
Yeah. Not only that, I mean, in this age of social media, everybody's a star. Everybody's a celebrity, you know? They take pictures of themselves, put them on Facebook.
There's a lot of instant gratification
me.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of self-aggrandization. Is that how they would say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
I can't tell if it's like the best time or the worst time ever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but it is our time, so we got to make
yeah,
the best
true.
Of it,
I mean,
right?
Sometimes I think that, you know, wow, the internet is like the greatest thing that's ever happened. Is we could like FaceTime with someone like Papua New Guinea and like the world is so connected. And then I'm just thinking people get cyberbullied and it's like the worst.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it brings out the best and the worst of us in a
yeah.
way.
It really does. I mean, but then again, I think every technology has done that, you know. I mean,
true.
Because there's always people that do the negative, people that do the positive, and but you can't stop progress. So that's why I say you got to embrace it somehow, you know.
Right.
People don't like change, you know. They like predictability and certainty, but that's not what life is about, obviously.
You know the Wheel of Progress at Disneyland?
No.
Oh my God! It's the oldest running like ride ever, and they sing that song. There's a great big beautiful. No one knows this.
No.
Tomorrow shining at the end of every day, and they show the different like decades and the different things that have been created over time. So I wonder what they're going to show for our. Time.
It's going to be some kid on Snapchat looking down at his phone. I mean,
right.
yeah.
I also feel like things have. We sound like an old fogey now, but things have changed in the past 10 years, things have changed so much more than the 20 years, you know, before that. I don't know.
Well, not necessarily, because in the 90s is when the internet came around, and that really
right.
changed things.
Right.
But you're right. I mean,
but
there's been a lot
now,
of progress.
I feel like
phones, apps, things like that. I mean, the mobility of computing has definitely happened in the past.
But from like 1950 to like 1990, did anything really change that much? I mean, the cars were better.
Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't like you could like, you know.
No, that's true. Nothing that changed.
People stopped smoking on airplanes.
Yeah. Nothing like a paradigm change or shift
no.
or
yeah.
whatever, yeah. We're talking to Aaron Cayro. You guys can follow us online. It's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, and the last name is K-A-R-O. Very simple to remember. Author, comedian, screenwriter. You've been writing for many years. Are you able to? I would imagine you're able to make a living off of this, or you'd be flipping hamburgers too, right?
Yeah, that's my job.
Yeah. So, well, that's very cool. So, I mean, it must make you feel good that with your creativity, you managed to create a career.
Yes. I mean, like everything, when you're in it and it's been a while, I don't think about that anymore. But I guess, I mean, it's cool that I don't have to sit. Well, I do sit at a desk, so that's out.
Yeah, but
that's
not in an office, though, having
not
to
an
do
office.
Something.
I mean, there are, you know, I've been doing it for so long. There's so many, you know, positives and negatives. I mean, I like making my own hours, wearing whatever, not having a boss.
Yeah.
I'm institutionalized. Like, I couldn't even have a boss now. I don't even know what I'd do if someone told me to do something. I'd be like, no. No. But on the other hand, there is something to be said for having someone who, like, tells you what to do or gives you a steady paycheck every day.
Yeah.
As opposed to like figuring it out yourself and like where it's coming from. So,
right.
You know. You do have somebody giving you like deadlines, like your publishers. And
true.
Like
but but you know, that's a very soft, it's like, okay, make the book happen in a year. I mean, obviously it's more than that, but you know, after the book is out, okay, well now what do I do? Like there's no, you know.
What's next for you?
Well, I'm writing this pilot, and then I got to figure out what my next book is going to be. My brain is just kind of not in book mode.
Oh, okay. Now, would you do nonfiction based on your ruminations or something like that?
Well, I did. My first two books were ruminations books.
Okay.
First three books. So, I mean, really at this point, since I've written sort of nonfiction, I've written fiction, I've written young adult, I've written adult. Right. I mean, I could pretty much do anything.
Right.
It's just a question of what.
Yeah, whatever you feel like doing at the time. Or
whatever someone feels like paying.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Cool. So you've made some connections with publishers, obviously, and everything. Was that difficult?
Well, I mean, everything kind of started almost by accident. I mean, I was writing ruminations in college as for fun. I just was, like, emailing my high school buddies. Just like, you know, when you have CCs with all your friends, just like emailing nonsense back and forth. And then people started forwarding my emails to their friends.
Really?
So the random people started emailing me and say, hey, uh-huh. Kro, add me to your CC of your friends. And I was like, all right, I don't know, I guess. So I started this, and then, but this is something I was doing for free, for fun, for 4 years of college. And I ended up with about 10,000 people who ended up getting on this list. Again, this is like 2001. So,
wow.
Yeah, this is when blogs are like barely even existing. And then I was working on Wall Street, like didn't even think about doing anything with it. And Simon & Schuster, who was my first publisher, they actually approached me.
Really?
And was like, wow. We saw this, this viral thing, and we like, let's make it into a book. And I was like, okay, you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm shrugging my shoulders right now. I'm going, all right, let's make it do a book. And then it was really only then that I kind of fell sort of into it, which is not like the most like aspirational story. And then once you're kind of in the system, then you're in the system and,
right.
you know.
I mean, that's a pretty big beginning. It's Simon & Schuster.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, my first two books were Simon & Schuster. Then I left to go to other places. Now this algorithm is back at Simon & Schuster. So I'm back. I mean, everyone I ever worked with there is like, they're dead or they don't work there anymore. So it's not like, it wasn't like that big of a homecoming. So that's how I sort of found a publisher. But I mean, it's hard. I mean, people ask me all the time. But first of all, I want to know what Jen's book is about.
Oh, it's about me, obviously.
Oh, well, I figured that much. Yeah.
Why is that so obvious?
Because my life is about me.
Okay. Yeah.
And I used to have a blog called Growing Up Golden.
I remember Growing Up Golden.
Yeah, I neglect it. It's just been sitting there for years now. But the intention was to write a book then. But I was like, well, we know me and my ADD, so I'm going to write a blog instead.
Right.
And then that fell by the wayside because I talk so freaking much on all the shows I host. So I talk instead.
Okay.
So I'm going to eventually write my book. I've been doing like voice recordings of like all my thoughts. Like every thought is a different chapter.
Okay.
That's good.
First of all, you say you was going to write the book and then you start blogging instead. But that's almost what everyone always says, if just to start blogging first and then make that into a book anyway.
Yeah.
But what is the, I mean, why do I
the
care?
The premise?
I mean, I like you.
Right.
Because you're going to read it because of that.
Because you know her and she's
that's
a
That's not enough.
True.
No. Yeah. It's about kind of like my path to where I'm at, and I didn't take the typical route to get there. And can't give it away. You got to buy it.
Yeah, okay. No. I mean, but it sounds
in 2020.
Yeah. If you have an interesting life, I think you can write a book, no problem, you know.
Yeah.
You have a lot to say and stuff. And
I would say I've become a very resourceful person. And so, like, my book would be, like, sort of a how-to tips and tricks to...
Right.
Yeah. I guess, okay, so my blog was, like, kind of being fancy on a budget. Like having the, in my case, golden platter taken away from me.
Yeah.
So, get it, golden?
Get it.
Cool.
Get it.
Yeah. So, it's kind of based on that.
Got it. What was the golden platter?
My parents. I mean, they're still alive, but like, they stopped supporting me, and like, you know, Miami felt a shit, and the real estate market crashed, and still got $120,000 in student loans. So, you know, it happens.
But you know what? I mean, it's nice that they supported you, and I think it's nice that they stopped supporting you,
yes.
So you can take off on your own.
I don't know that it was nice.
No,
but it didn't become disastrous.
Right,
right.
But I would say that had to do with a lot of me and what I did to like figure it out.
Okay, so it's not sort of like to teach you how to be independent and on your own. Okay, so now I really
if they could still support me, they would.
Now I really want to.
I'm an only child. I don't know if everybody's known that, but hello.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we want to read the book. Now
exactly.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I wanted to bring this in because it's kind of related. I mean, we're talking about like discipline and deadlines and all this stuff. Do you consider yourself a type A personality?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm insane.
Yeah. And Jen, you obviously are, right?
I would say I'm.
Yeah. Pretty
sure.
Much.
What's type B? That's like the Cree.
Well, that's what we. Flighty? That's what I wanted to bring up is.
The flaky people.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean,
what
the,
is type B, actually?
Oh, type B?
Yeah.
Oh, that I don't know. I don't know that there
doesn't
is.
Doesn't matter.
One.
If you're not type A, I don't want to know
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right. Forget about it.
Exactly. Get out of here.
But there's like a whole article about like what type A personalities want other people to know about them.
Oh, do tell.
So yeah, I mean, like, for example, the main thing they say is type A personality live by to-do lists.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
There you go.
Yeah, big yeah? to-do list.
Now,
yeah.
I don't, but I'm definitely type A because of some of the other things that are coming up here. Like, we're not impatient, just efficient.
Totally.
Right? Long lines, traffic, we load them all. Okay, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Does anyone like long lines?
No, but that's what I'm saying too, you know? So that's the thing is that, and I think I am impatient, you know? I mean, and that's type A personality.
I mean, you waited way longer at Pep Boys than...
Yeah, I would have
right?
never done that.
Right? Yeah, I just kept myself busy so I don't think about it.
But that
it,
wasn't you know? Efficient what they were doing. So no. That would have made me livid. Like my sense of urgency would have gotten the best of me and I would have probably massacred the place.
Right. But that's the thing, you see, for me.
Forgot how much Jen and I are alike.
Yeah. But for me, having been impatient all my life, it's like I feel it's those are challenges for me and sort of like tests. And so I try to stay calm, you know, driving as well. All the things that make me mad, I try to
overcome
and,
oh, that's
and be
good.
A little more relaxed about them and stuff. Yeah. So because it only ruins you, you know, when you get really mad and stuff, you know.
Right. I've been trying to sort of calm myself down the past year or so. It is not working.
Right. Yeah. And then arriving late to anything is agonizing. Right? And we yeah. talk a lot about people being late and stuff.
Can't
you
stand
know.
It. Gives
I know.
Me anxiety.
And that really irritates me. We live by to-do lists. We say that.
What? That was the number one. How is
yeah.
it back again?
No, no, it wasn't number one. It was like sort of like the sub-headline.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm reading the list.
Got it.
So, I
see,
mean,
this article is inefficient. It's already yes, angering me.
Yeah.
I have to go.
Well, no, but it's because we don't have a lot of time. Otherwise, we could cover each one of those. But I just kind of wanted to bring up a few to show you how accurate it is, you know. Each task we're assigned is urgent.
Yep.
Right?
All at the same time.
There's no priorities or anything. You just have to do everything at the same time.
Must do.
Yeah.
This is sounding a little bit like a horoscope where it's just like everything yeah. is going to be.
I don't know because I know people that don't relate to this and they do not function in the way I do. Yeah. They're like, why are you doing 17? It's like you have 17 arms. I'm like, must get done.
Yeah. Like it's hard for us to relax, for example. It's
oh, I can do that.
Right. Yeah, you can do that because you've gotten into
really?
Yoga and stuff. But for me, it's hard to relax without.
I love relaxing. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah. There you go.
That's probably my number one weakness. I can't relax.
Do you do yoga?
I do some yoga.
I saw one photo of you in like a arm balance.
I mean, I know how to do it. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't relax me though.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. You need some mind altering drugs to relax you.
I got plenty of those.
Look. I'm actually going to transcendental meditation tonight. I'm giving it a shot.
Interesting.
I've never been. It's a free class. So I said, yes, obviously it's free.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll let you know how it is tomorrow.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I can't. Any of that stuff that tries to get you out of your head, I'm get deeper in.
You're like, why are they making me not think about not thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because you're talking about priorities. I feel like that is the number one challenge of being like a self-employed
yes.
person. Like you have to like, okay, here are the five things I need to do today. No one's going to tell me which one to do. I got to figure it out.
Right.
Like, and then there's always one that you don't want. It's like the worst thing. And I always do that one first.
That's smart. I do that too.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Then
do you have an intern?
No.
You should get one.
People have been telling me that for like 10 years. But like I don't know how would I make them do
something. Oh, it's so great.
But that's only if you – do you have an intern?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Hello. Her name is Jiggy.
He's speechless, and so am I.
What does she do?
Okay, so for instance, for Two Drunk Girls, she does a lot of research. She'll do emailing, like in terms of scheduling guests and things like that.
Okay.
And she will come up with ideas for topics for our next shows. She'll reach out to people for sponsorship for stuff or partnering on stuff or random people that contact us to promote them. Like, she'll deal with them. She makes sure to keep Lauren and I on track. Like, when I veer off into outer space and all my thoughts happen, and then Lauren's like, you know, doing whatever she's doing, she's like, girls, tasks, come back. Back down.
But those are very specific things.
Yours could do research. Yours can...
I don't need research.
Scheduling?
Nah, it's like, it's so little amount of scheduling that, like...
Oh. Yeah.
Not that I'm not that busy, just that, like, can you do 3 o'clock? Yes.
I could also read that same email and respond.
Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe you don't need it then.
Yeah.
I swear by it.
But with what
do you
pay,
Jiggy?
No, she's a volunteer.
Okay.
Or she gets college credit.
Oh, she's in college?
Yes.
Is her real name Jiggy?
No. Her name's Taylor.
Okay. That's her nickname you gave to her.
No, she came with that nickname. So we hired her because of that, obviously. We're like, anybody named Jiggy must come work with us.
And what is the origin of her nickname?
I don't know. I don't remember. She's kind of Jiggy-ish. She's like, Jiggy.
Okay.
No one can see that I was dancing just now. But
she's basically doing was it called
the jig?
Getting jiggy with it?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Will Smith.
Wow, she's got a really outdated nickname.
No.
That's like having your nickname be the, God, I can't even think of it, like the running man. I don't know.
It's funny though, but I still listen to that song. I have it on my playlist, Getting Jiggy With It.
Oh, you are.
Yeah,
really,
I just heard it the
dating
other day.
Well, yeah. My but dad still thing, listens to Who Let the Dogs Out.
No, I mean, but I think everybody at a certain point gets stuck in their music, you know, and I mean, look, I love new stuff, you know, like Maroon 5 and things like that I like, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of classic stuff that I like too, you know. So that's why, I mean, and I've noticed, I don't know what it is, but you go to many places, like places of business, and most of the songs they play 70s and 80s. I don't know why that is.
I mean, maybe the Pep Boys on in Burbank, but I don't know.
Not the Pep Boys, but Ralph's and
70s, 80s, like, and today.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
It's probably because that's what they get the rights to.
Right.
So cynical.
I'm like, no, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going to be playing.
How about if it's just good music? I mean, is that possible?
Totally.
Okay.
They probably studies that show you buy more bananas if the fucking 80s are on.
Yeah, you definitely buy bread when there's a 70s song. Because the 70s, they didn't care about bread. They were like, eat it. It's healthy. You're not going to get fat.
And maybe it shows you also the age of the target market or something.
People,
you
know? Parents and people.
There's no way that there's music playing in Ralph's that has words in it. Isn't it just like music?
I don't know. Now I'm going to always
not
pay
at
attention.
All, because I like, we talked about this once. I went to Rite Aid and they had the song Fuck You by...
CeeLo Green?
Yeah, he was all upset about that.
CeeLo Green, and they beeped all the fuck yous, and I'm like, so why are they even playing this?
But there's another version where he's like, forget you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Rite Aid just doesn't have a good... Maybe they need an intern.
Yeah, maybe you need to go to Rock and Roll Ralph's, and then you'll hear it.
Exactly. But no, many places of business have, like... clothing stores have more like
they
modern.
Well, that makes you want to like get dressed
modern,
and go out.
Yeah, that's more for young people.
From now on, I'm going to just start dancing every time I hear music in stores and stuff. Because if it's on, I should dance.
Yeah.
I see. I have to go to the Beverly Center tomorrow to get some things for like a wedding, and now I'm just like, I can't stand you go into the store and just blast it. I'm so old. Blasting the music.
It's too loud. It's turn too this ruckus off.
Seriously, like I can't even look at the shirts, but I have a headache.
No, it's true, but they do play it loud in the clothing stores, you know, for the young people.
But I don't go into
the young people.
Well, true.
They're really young, like the teenagers.
I don't go to Abercrombie or whatever anymore, but like when I walk by, I'm like, God damn it, it is loud and it's like thumping.
It's loud and it smells. Why does it smell so much? They spray so much cologne. I'm like, my nose can't handle it.
All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Everybody go out. Check out Aaron Caro, K-A-R-O. The book is Galgorithm, and a fiction book.
Yep. And young adult fiction.
And it sounds good. Do you have a copy for us?
This is for you.
Awesome. Awesome. I love reading books, man. So
I called it first.
Oh, okay. So you'll give it to me after that.
Yep.
How's that?
Probably going to take me 2 years to read.
That's okay.
I will give it to you about the time I print out my book.
Okay. That's okay. I'm reading 5 books right now, and I have another 20 in my upcoming reading list. So
his favorite topic these days is ISIS. So your book.
Well, you're reading books about ISIS?
Yeah.
How did they even have books about it already?
people are writing.
They've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is it, because they've been around for a while. It's nothing new, you know?
Like talk about like the Rolling Stones. They've been around for a while, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, but true. And business books and things like that. Yeah. I like, you know, I mean, anything, science, you know, whatever.
I actually told him yesterday to read The Game.
Oh, I was just talking about The Game the other day.
Really? Well, because of your book. It makes sense.
Yeah, there's a little bit of The Game, like a high school version game. Yeah. But it's still just a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to read it because I need to know what people are doing in my brain.
No, so you've never...
No, a friend explained it over Memorial Day weekend.
Explained negging to you? You've been getting negged?
Yes, he said that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, everybody, go out, get the book. I'm sure they can find it everywhere, right?
Yep, Amazon? Amazon, Barnes & Noble, eBooks, iTunes, everywhere.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And should be an entertaining book. Obviously, relationships, growing up.
High school. First love. Like that.
There you go. Yeah.
Sexual frustration.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
A guy, a girl, a formula. Algorithm.
Right. And you can find all his social network links on his website, aaronkaro.com. Go ahead, check it out. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're a lot of fun. Much success with the book.
Thank you.
Come back and visit us. I truly hope it makes it big, and I'll give you a review once I read that.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Me too.
That?
Awesome. I should do that with every guest, but I forget. You know?
Make a list.
Well, yeah. I'm sitting exactly. right here make still. A list.
No. Yeah, but by the time I read the book, he may not be.
Now you know.
Yeah, she told me a year from now, so we'll see. 2 years. Maybe I'll just have you send me another copy.
Just review it. You don't have to read it. Five stars. Yeah. It's fine.
Okay, cool. At least I'll get the sample on the Kindle. I can at least do that.
Yes, there's actually off my link or something, there's an excerpt, the first five chapters.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Stay tuned for some great shows today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.